warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 to 14. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. The result, he made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, cords from the cattle, and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. Sweet Holy Spirit, put the word in my mouth tonight. It's a word of liberation. It's a word of deliverance. It's a word of salvation. It's the word that brings supernatural turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, our operation is titled, Upgrade Your Lifestyle. Upgrade your lifestyle. Now, discussion is based on this premise that you cannot walk with God and be poor. You cannot be in partnership with this God that we serve and be poor. You know, truth sets free. And the way it sets free is it helps you to know what is yours by right. And once you know it is yours by right, you reject whatever will deprive you of that right. You see, when something is a gift, you cannot enforce it because it is benevolent. It's dependent on the choice of the giver. But when something is your right, it is no longer left to the whims and caprices of whoever wants to give it to you. It is now your choice to take it. The knowledge of the fact that it is your right usually motivates you to do whatever may be required to get it, just because it's yours. So tonight, I want us to know, when you walk with God, being materially blessed is a right. He said here that he found Jacob in a desert. Found him in the wilderness, the howling wilderness, in a wasteland. Said, and God saw him and then circled him. And then began to give him strategies. Says, go this way. Do it that way. He said, he instructed him. He said, like an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over the young, spreads out the wings and takes them up. The way an eagle takes its young ones to heights they would not have gone by themselves. The way an eagle trains its young ones to fly. The way an eagle helps the young ones to realize you were not made for the nest. Because that's what happens. You have those young eaglets there in the nest. They enjoy it. The mother goes, gets the worms, gets the food, comes, drops it for them in the nest. And just before they get used to it, and they are comfortable because it's really nice for you to do nothing, but just to enjoy, then the mother eagle comes and begins to beat them with the wings, begins to make the nest uncomfortable for them, begins to remove some of the feathers and the cotton that it used to lay up the nest, makes it uncomfortable. And then it says he hovers. The eagle hovers over the nest and then spreads out its wing. The young eaglet jumps on it. Then the eagle soars, takes this young one on a ride, helps this young one with its experience, okay, and with its strength, takes it to wonderful heights. Of course, I learned that somewhere along the line, the eagle just turns, throws the young one off, and that one begins to struggle for life, you know. And then the mother eagle circles and circles while the young one is dropping down. And then before it hits the ground, it dives, picks it up. And the young one is relieved, picks it up again. Okay? And just while he's thinking, oh, I thought I was going to die, the mother eagle twists again, throws it off. But the mother eagle is simply training it. You were made to fly like me. See what I'm doing. See what I'm capable of doing. You can do it too. Can't you see you are like me? Moses says here, that's what God did to Israel. God picked these people who were slaves and was soaring with them. Said, excuse me, you were not destined for slavery. You've been too used to poverty and lack. Let me show you. And he said the practical result was prosperity. He said, in verses 13 and 14, he made him ride in the heights of the earth. You see, you were not made to crawl. You were designed to fly. This year, you will fly. You will soar. I know the difference between crawling financially and soaring. I'm telling you, flying is better. It's easier. You go faster. And you get a whole lot more. So he says that he made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock. The same rock other people are trying to crack that is so hard. That's where you suck honey. Okay, when it is God instructing you, there is honey in the rock. Out of the eater came meat. That's what Samson said. What is eating other people? You are the one that will eat it. That's where your food will come out from. It's remarkable that it is where other people are growing poor. That's where other people prosper. It's remarkable. This thing just flows. That's all. It will begin to flow in your direction. Said he made him to draw oil from the flinty rock, cords from cattle, milk from the flock, fat from lambs. Everywhere Israel now turned, it was prosperity. It was blessing. It was abundance. That has become your testimony. You cannot walk with God and be poor. Settle that. Accept it as the reality of your life. Genesis 1:28, God spoke to Adam and Eve. He blessed them, gave them dominion. Verse 29, he said, I've given you every herb, every seed-yielding herb in the field. He said, I've given you for food. Said, and every tree that bears fruit, I have given you for food. That's wealth, sir. All the trees that bear fruit, one man and his wife. Adam was rich automatically. The instruction we get there is that the wealth was waiting for Adam. You know, Adam met everything. And then God conferred authority on him to take charge of everything. What you need to live a prosperous life is already available. Already provided. And then in Genesis chapter 13, I read about Abraham. You know, when he had begun to walk with God. What a testimony. It says in Genesis 13:2, and Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And this journey started from Genesis 12. God spoke to Abraham. That's all. Move. Move from your father's country, move. And the man started moving. See the result. See the result. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, in gold, because you can't walk with this awesome God and be poor. Very important. In Genesis 26, we read about Isaac. I just want to paint a picture very quickly as I run through those scriptures. Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14. Testimony. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. A foreigner with God. A foreigner with God. Abraham was very rich. Here is Isaac. The man became prosperous and was prosper. He said he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. You know, we call our God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's read about Jacob. Genesis 30. Genesis 30, verses 41 to 43. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Verse 43, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. This guy, when he landed in Laban's house, all he had was a stick. See the story. There was a supernatural force working in his life because he was connected to the covenant of Abraham, his grandfather. That's all. He knew the God that his grandfather knew. Just walking with this God, he was a different kind of employee. Be careful who you employ. This guy, he was working for someone and the wealth of the master was crossing over to his side because his salary was commission. When the commission becomes more than the capital with which we are running the business, isn't that a strange employee? That's what they said. The man became more prosperous than his boss. Commission became more than the turnover for the business. Now, well, he was prosperous. And I want you to understand, it was not happenstance. It was God who caused it to be like that. In Genesis 43, I'll pick two verses of scripture. Genesis 43, verses 11 and 12. When there was famine all over the world, all over the earth, Jacob sent his sons to Egypt, since there was food there, to go and get food from Egypt. The first time they went with money. Jacob hid the money in their bag, sent them back home. Now they were to go back. Genesis 43, 11 and 12. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio, nuts and almonds. He said in verse 12, take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. It's remarkable. It's one thing for you to have enough to buy it. It's another thing for you to go with double money. There was farming quite all right, but this man had the means. He said they should take all kinds of spices, perfumes, costly perfumes, powerful special nuts. Then he said, when it comes to the money, take double. Don't forget to take the one that was returned the other time. The man was rich. He was rich. There are people who can be so blessed, austerity cannot catch them. SAP can't handle them. Amen. Devaluation of the currency cannot handle them. This man was too much because he was walking and prospering by the covenant. You know very well the story of Solomon in the Bible. You know the story of Solomon and how God prospered him. Maybe I should pick a few verses to describe how wealthy Solomon was. And you and I know it was God. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 4. Let me pick a few verses from 1 Kings chapter 4. Verses 22 and 23. It says, now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep. One day, if they cook this in somebody's house, in one day, my brother, I'll take verse 23 again. 10 fatted oxen, 10 cows, fat cows, 20 oxen from the pasture, okay, 10 specially fatted cows, then 20 from the field, 30 cows, daily provision. Some people think they are rich, they are broke. This is a rich man. And 100 sheep. He said, besides the deer, the gazelles, the roebucks, and the fatted fowl, bushmeat, special, different species. Jesus Christ. In verse 26, he says, Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. This man was rich. In 1 Chronicles 29, you read the first five verses, you read about David, the day he was raising funds for the building of the temple. What he himself gave was more than what the whole country put together gave. At that time, over $100 million worth of stuff that he personally gave. And $100 million of then is not the same $100 million of now. He said at that time, that was the equivalent. If you read your Bible very well also, you must have come to the conclusion by now that Jesus was not poor. You know, for a long time, they made us think that he was poor. Just because he said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But this was just after the Samaritans had refused to allow him to lodge in a hotel in their city. And it was because he was on the way to Jerusalem. And one man ran after him and said, Master, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. He said, can't you see what has happened to me? This is how the thing is. Suffer rejection in some places, acceptance in some places. Somewhere it works, somewhere it doesn't work. That's what he was talking about. He was not confessing that he was broke. The person that had the power to send his disciples to go to a rich man's house, and they prepared the upper room for 13 of them. Is he the one that will now say he didn't have where to lay his head? Didn't he have a friend called Lazarus and Mary and Martha? Couldn't he sleep in their house? Didn't Peter have a house? Couldn't he sleep there? The one that said they should go and bring a donkey. A donkey on whom nobody ever rode. Eh? And that donkey, that was the Lincoln Navigator of their time. The one that he said they should bring was not Tokumbo. Chassis. Hallelujah. Tier nylon. He said the one that nobody ever rode on. So he had such influence and such capacity and such reach. He said, go untie it and bring it. If anybody asks you, where are you taking, he said, tell them the Lord, the person who created it, has need of it. Everything was created for him. He needs it. And the moment they said that, everybody shut up. So that person is the one that will now confess that he didn't have where to lay his head. He was not talking natural language. That's how he said to his disciples one day, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought he was talking about bread. hungry people.
He said, I'm talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. In Mark chapter 4, where he said, let us cross over to the other side. It's interesting, the picture painted here. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. I hope you know that each time he took a boat, and these were not canoes, these were sheep. I hope you know that each time he took a boat, he chartered it. He paid. And in this particular instance, he was not only going in one boat. He said he was in a convoy. There were other small boats tagging along. Hallelujah. So you think they just started owning yacht now, or chartering yacht? Jesus rode longest time, the best in his day. Okay, when the storm arose, okay, they said he was sleeping in the inner part of the ship. You know, for a long time, anytime I read boat, you climbed a boat, it was the picture of a canoe that came to my mind. Can you sleep in a canoe? He said he was sleeping on a pillow. He was sleeping on cushion, on soft mattress. Hallelujah. Some people have served the wrong Jesus a long time. Okay. If he was poor, how come he had a treasurer? Do you hire an accountant to keep nothing? And it is recorded in the Bible that the man was stealing this thing, yet the ministry was not affected. My brother. He was stealing. Judas was stealing the money. The ministry didn't feel it. There are some amounts of money that you can have. If they take a dime. Was it not the same Jesus that when he died, they had to be struggling over his clothes? They were fighting over his dress. So you think he was putting on rags? Come on. They said there was something peculiar about his clothes. You couldn't find where they used thread to join it. My brother. It's a designer clothes now. Custom made. I am driving at a point. There is inherent power in Christianity for wealth creation. Not just biblically stated, but a proven fact accepted by people of all religions worldwide. Because the most developed countries or economies of our world have been built on Christian principles, biblical principles. I read it for the first time in a secular book packaged by Harvard University from a seminar or a symposium that was held by sociologists from all over the world. Stated fact, most of the developed world was built on Judeo-Christian principles. There is inherent power in Christianity for wealth creation. Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you what? Power to get or to produce or to harvest wealth. The day God delivered Israel out of Egypt, wealth was automatically conferred. Psalm 105 verse 37 says he brought them forth with silver and with gold. They didn't come out empty-handed. He brought them forth with silver and with gold. Once you are delivered from under the oppression of the devil,
wealth is conferred on you. Said he brought them forth with silver and with gold, and there was none feeble among their tribes. It's a health and wealth package. So tonight, the upgrade that we are talking about includes not just material blessings, but your total well-being. Live a quality life. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. Yeah, that was one of the apostles speaking. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The power in Christianity does not only have the ability to affect your soul. It affects your spirit and affects your material well-being also and the quality of your health. So tonight, I want to encourage you to reject the lifestyle of underdevelopment. It is not part of your destiny in Christ. Let me share a few keys for upgrade. A few keys, because I want to be very practical. A few keys. Number one, raise your level of expectation. Keys to upgrade. Raise your level of expectation. Before Israel left Egypt, Moses was trying to prepare them. Like Pastor Godman led us to pray earlier on, very, very important prayer. Whatever cannot enter your imagination cannot enter your life. So Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 and 11, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and holy trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, what kind of a picture do you think this will paint in somebody's mind? He said large and beautiful cities, not slums. They had lived all their lives in slums in Egypt, the downside of the city. He said, excuse me, as you are moving now, you must have in your mind the picture of beautiful cities. That's where you are going to live. That's where you belong. He talked about houses filled with all good things. Wonderful. Sometimes Christians don't know whether it is right or not to expect the good things of life. Sometimes we are afraid. I'm telling you, sometimes you can be afraid of success. Success can be so strange to you, you are scared of it. Especially when God is promising you a massive jump. The first new car that I rode, or that I drove, I'll be driving on the road, and the devil will be playing thoughts in my mind that robbers were going to attack me. Because now, people were looking at me. And one day, the Holy Spirit said, shut up. Can't you see all the other people on the road driving better cars than your own? Have they killed all of them? I just realized it was a mental fight. It was a mental fight. It was a psychological fight. You are the one that thinks your Dokumbo Benz has now made you a target for special attack. So what should they do to the person driving the Hummer? Relax. The one you are doing now is Riaza. Better days are coming. Hallelujah. And you have to learn to be comfortable with those things in your imagination so that you can be comfortable with them when they become your reality. Did I hear you say amen? Yeah. Expect to live in a beautiful house, in a beautiful location. I still remember, was it 1993? For 1994, in my former pastorate, I went with my assistant pastor, you know, to inaugurate a cell in Victoria Island. Oh, no, we went to pray over a brother's office in Victoria Island. And, you know, we just took a stroll on the street. It was early evening, slightly dark. And I saw the serenity of that street. The breeze that was blowing coolly in that part of the city. I told my assistant pastor, I said, it's good to live here. I said, it's better to live here. Can't you see? Can't you even smell the air? It's cleaner. July of 1994, we had a guest speaker, a friend from Kia. He said he wanted to see the city, so I took him all the way from the mainland, and we drove through Ikoyi. As we drove, I mean, this was his first time in Nigeria. As we drove on Awolowo Road in Ikoyi, all of a sudden he said, hey man, the cars here look different. Even the houses are different. I said, yeah, this is the rich part of the city. He said, well, why don't you come live here, man? Hallelujah. At that time, I thought it was not being realistic. But now I realize it was making sense. That is what is supposed to be normal. So you should expect to drive the best cars in town. You should expect to live in a good house. He said, houses full of good things. When you sit down, press play and move into another world. Hallelujah. Because what you think today is what you will see tomorrow. As he thinketh in his heart, expect to put on beautiful clothes. Expect to have uninterrupted power supply. Uninterrupted water supply. Expect it. Expect it in your mind. Persuade your mind to accept that that is supposed to be normal for you. Don't accept the poverty in this environment as your reality. There is power in the faith that you profess to improve your quality of life. It's unfortunate, but while most people in our country wish for a better quality of life, most don't desire it. There's a difference between a desire and a wish. That's why I said, you have to, listen, when you think it's a gift, then you know it's a matter of chance, because it depends on the choice of the giver. When you know it is a right, then a desire stirs up inside, there's a force that rises inside you to want to claim, you know, exercise some force to get what rightfully belongs to you. That forceful thinking is what we need. It is called desire. Craving with passion. Craving with passion. Unfortunately, most people in our country are not yet there when it comes to this issue of desire. They wish, but they don't desire. Israel wished for Canaan. Israel did not desire it. That's why, with just little obstacle, they caved in. Our thinking, our mindsets cave in too easily. We yield our expectations too cheap, too easily, because our desires are not strong enough. Expect to live a good quality of life, because it has been provided for. It is part of the salvation package. Amen. As you open your mind to such quality pictures and quality thoughts, then heaven will be able to transfer them into your heart and mind, because that's how faith is born. The problem God has is that he cannot put some pictures in some people's minds, because their minds can't take them. You remember the story of the boy with the frying pan? Some people's frying pans are just small. And Jesus said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Some people's minds are old bottles. Old wineskins. Jesus can't put new thoughts.
new ideas. That's why somebody will call them, hey, Papa millionaire, and say, my sleep major, me lo waiting. That is a rejection. A rejection of a breakthrough picture, breakthrough confession. You tell me, Baba millionaire, I'll tell you I want to hear. Hallelujah. We are the ones you are talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember the day the Holy Spirit corrected my language. I would always say, those rich people, don't mind those rich people. They are the ones spoiling this country. Those rich people. Then one day the Holy Spirit said, you keep referring to some people as those rich people. Who are you? Then it dawned on me. If I refer to some other people as those rich people, then I must be part of the poor people. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. From today, we rich people. Hallelujah. We rich people. Take yourself to the point where in your mind it is normal to experience those things that you consider to be luxury. Aeroplane is better than trekking. All those explanations and excuses that we give. You know, it's remarkable how we justify our poverty with proverbs. All those explanations and excuses, they are poverty proverbs. Don't allow a poverty proverb to lodge in your brain. The rich man is not God, Joe. There's the secrets that are covered. I used to like that proverb because it gave me consolation in poverty. That's right. The rich man is not God. Until one day, you know, I was watching TV, it was drama. Then somebody said that the rich man is not God. The other one said, oh, wait, that's a poor man's proverb. I said, yeah, it's true. The rich man can never tell you that kind of a proverb. It's poverty that is causing it. What is it? Tokumbo and brand leaf. They are the same thing. Raise your level of expectation. When I came to this city, I remember there I was walking on the road on Mobalaji Bank County here. I saw those fine cars in the hot sun, the afternoon, fine cars driving past. I said, in this Lagos, we will ride these fine cars together. Hallelujah. I was raising my expectation. Not somebody drives past in the fine car. Only. When in your mind you have attached driving a new car with being a thief, hey, and you don't classify yourself as a thief, you are out. As far as those fine cars are concerned. Let your revelation be more realistic than your reality. Hold on to what God has said to you in His Word. And I'll tell you one thing that provokes those kind of revelations. Giving. God gave me a revelation on how to get vision. He said, every farmer who puts seed in the ground automatically gets the picture of a harvest. So he said, every time you give, he said, one of the major things you get is a new dream, a new vision. It can't be, you see, the farmer who puts one seed in the soil cannot be imagining in his mind, let's say it's one maize seed, he can't be imagining in his mind that in 3 months' time he will get one seed back. It doesn't work like that. He knows he's getting a whole stalk and corn cobs with hundreds of seeds on them. Every time you give, you provoke revelation. So I was wondering, God, see what we are downloading in this word explosion. Wonder, then the Holy Spirit reminded me. A lot of people have made a commitment to give their second tithe for this year. He said, and once you've given it in your mind, you've given it. He said, because it's the heart that I deal with. And he said, is that giving that is provoking? He said, the kind of visions and revelations I will download this year will be kind that you have not gotten before. Amen. Good. Raise your level of expectation. Number two, gradually improve the quality of your knowledge and skill. Gradually improve the quality of your knowledge and skill. Gradually. You see, once you target a particular kind of life, begin to develop the level of knowledge and the level of skill that qualifies to attract that level of wealth. See, in raising your level of expectation, let me give these statistics. The World Bank says that the way it measures poverty around the world is with the dollar. It says poverty level is spending less than $1 per day. Good. So whatever they call your salary in Nigeria, you see that they are not reckoning with the naira. $1 per day. So if they say that is poverty level, first of all, calculate your expectation for this year. 140 times 30, how much is that? It's been a long time since you left school. 4,200. Thank you. God bless you. It was not long you did jump. It's showing. Some people here need to do adult education. To calculate that kind of thing. Too much bukata. Wife and children to take care of. Now we're doing times table. Okay, so if they say that's poverty level, then God forbid, you can't be spending less than that anymore. Amen? So I've encouraged that we should set our expectations for this year in dollars. Good. So whatever they will define as being rich in dollars, that's my definition. Not naira terrorists that will get three bundles or three packs of 2020 naira notes and go to the party and now be spraying everything 6,000. Shakara. Now, the wealth of the developed world is built on brain work. You see, until Africa finds the connection between spirituality and quality thinking, it will stay a long time in poverty. The world, what Christianity did to the developed world that made it developed was that Christianity influenced the quality of thought. The raw material for creating wealth is thought. Real money is not the paper you carry around. It is thought. Thought money is the real money. The paper follows the thought. And it's so funny that in Christianity, you will find those who want to argue against, you know, our emphasis on the teaching of the use of the mind. Somebody told one of our pastors a few years ago, say, I like Pastor Sam. I really like his teachings. Say, my problem with him is that he emphasizes too much on the use of the mind. When I heard that, I say, I wish I could see him. I'll ask him that if he's tired of using his mind, you give me, loan me, let me add it to my own. Don't use your mind. Just use your spirit. I change my spirit. Spirit. And there are loads of people who do spirit, and they are not effective. Serious. They're not productive. Spirit. Because you have a spirit, you have a physical body. You see, your composition in itself is a lesson. You have a spirit that functions in the spirit world. You have a body that functions in the material world. What connects the two is the mind. The point of conversion is the mind. The place where the supernatural touches the natural is in the mind. So quality thinking. How much is the United Kingdom? in size. That it built an empire that spanned the whole world. And even when colonization has become a thing of the past, they have progressed. They have progressed from physical colonization to mental colonization. A good chunk of the companies that are spread around the world have their headquarters in the UK. They suck money, suck the wealth of nations, and suck them back into the UK, as small as our country is. It's brain work. The days of Ujuju Calabar are over. There's no Ujuju anywhere. I don't allow anybody in my house. I don't tell the children, Ujuju Calabar is coming. Ujuju Calabar. I will quickly tell the children, there is no Ujuju Calabar anywhere. Don't start to put a spell on this young boy's mind. It's a spell. It's a lie. Too much Ujuju Calabar. In finances, Ujuju Calabar is coming. So you run away from money. There is no Ujuju Calabar anywhere. As you upgrade, because I'll tell you, my thinking now is not the same it was 15 years ago, and it's showing in my account. Fall in love with books and tapes. Fall in love with books and tapes. Invest in books and tapes. Invest. Of what use? Listen, we keep saying over and over, the world works wonders in this time. Because I want each person who comes here to know the kingdom of God is a kingdom of education. Its power is essentially in education. When you come in, you can't come and sit down. We don't play church. The tapes, that's where the power is. The tapes, even the ones that we preached 9 years ago, they are still selling because they have the power to influence people's lives. Testimonies come from all over the world. You can't sit down here and not get something from the same tapes. When people are writing in from Cote d'Ivoire, from South Africa, from the US, from the United Kingdom, about the impact of those tapes on their lives, lives are changing. Upgrade your thinking and the quality of your skill. Develop management skills and leadership skills. Learn entrepreneuring. Learn how to run an organization. You know it. The measurement now of wealth in our church is not how much you are getting a salary. It is how many people you have in your employment. Amen. Let's move on. Step three, practicals now. Gradually build your own developed world. Gradually build your own developed world. Anything that is supposed to be normal in the developed world, make it normal in your personal life. Example, buy a generator. Buy a generating set. You don't have to wait until you can buy silent cabin. This 0.5 kVA one, buy it. You know the funny thing I see? There are things that can provide comfort. And there are some people, it is not that they cannot afford those things, but because they don't put value on their comfort. Even if it's just light bulbs it will put on, taste the difference between light and darkness. It's wide, sir. It's wide. Don't take those things for granted. The first generator that we bought in our house, we came to service that Wednesday. Got back home, there had been no light in our house 3 days. No cold water to drink after preaching and sweating. No cold water to drink. So my wife and myself took a stroll. We went on the road. We bought ice cream to feel cool. We were licking the ice cream. By the time we got to the house, ice cream finished. We were feeling thirsty again. What kind of a thing is this? Then both of us just rebelled. We remembered one of our brothers here said that he had a townsman who was selling generating sets. And that he got the generating sets at credit, for credit. The next morning, I took my checkbook, my wife and myself went to look for him at Victoria Island. Where is the person's shop? He said, Bode Thomas, Suru Lere, let's go. We went there, and then he's in the service now, he's looking at me. Then we checked the different ones that were there. Our minds were made up. It's no money. I said desire. God grants the desires, not the wishes. The desires of the righteous. So we got there. The one that we decided on, 160,000 naira. We negotiated. Said, okay, that we wanted to do, of course, since we took somebody along that he knew, he agreed for us to do installmental payment. So we wrote checks. He said, we should pay, I think it was 70,000 naira, yeah, the first check. And then we should write two installments, two checks, two installments, 45,000 naira each. In 1 month interval. The deposit, we didn't have. We wrote the check. Then I asked him, do you have an account with Guarantee Trust Bank? He said, yes. I said, do you have an account in other banks? He said, yes. I said, please, don't put it in the one in Guarantee Trust. This one is a Guarantee Trust check. Okay? Put it in your account with another bank. Before it gets to clearing, I will make sure there's money in my own. I have made a commitment to God that I will not be a preacher who will not tell you how I got to where. So, with the checks dropped, they prepared the generating set, and we asked someone to go pick it up later in the afternoon. 24 hours, generator. Walk in our house. From Bode Thomas to Guarantee Trust Bank, Allen Avenue, the manager there was our church member. So we went there and told him, you know what? We have already issued the checks. So 70,000 must enter my account. Before their check arrives, I want overdraft. Say, okay, no problem. We'll work it out. I'll use my own fixed deposit to back it up. We'll give you the... So the deposit was overdraft. So we were supposed to pay, clear that 70,000 before the 45,000, the first 45,000 check would hit the account 30 days later. So when it was approaching, we were clearing it gradually, but of course we had not gotten through with the 70,000. The 45 was going to hit. So I called the man. Told him that he should hold on, okay? And then we got the money cash, sent it to him, okay? Then the second one, too, was approaching. Anyway, we cleared it. We bought generator. Amen. Ah, it's a world of difference, though. Ah. So, tonight, gradually, build your own developed world. Amen. Okay, I have to rush this in a few minutes and crack it. So buy a generating set, buy a rug into your house, buy AC. The first one we bought was Tokumbo. Buy A. There's different zone. Cha-cha-cha. You know, one of my friends preached to us several years ago and talked about how he used to wake up and it would seem as if somebody beat him. And he said that he believed it was demonic activity that was going on in the night. He said the first day he bought AC, he woke up, there was no demon beat him that day. Then he realized it was not demons. It was poverty that was beating him in the night. Listen, plan for the next 10 years. Okay? Make it gradual. It's a process. I'll give you 10 years, but gradually improve. Buy everything. Whatever it is that makes America attractive to you, bring it into your own life. You know the interesting thing? Practically almost everything you can find there is available in this country. Okay. Go on vacation once in a while. When we say vacation, let's say somebody thinks about it's London. You don't have to go to London. The first vacation my wife and myself went, it was Abeokuta, Gateway Hotel, hallelujah. The next one after that was Guest House, University of Ibadan. Just get out of the house. You'll be surprised. Anytime they open a new hotel in Lagos, it is Lagosians that go in there to launch it. Interestingly. But while you are there in a different environment from your normal one, fresh ideas will come to you. It is not an expense. It's an investment. And please, pay attention to your health. Eat quality food. Upgrade the food you eat. There's a kind of food you eat and you are treating yourself like a poor person. Not the most expensive food in town, but good quality food. Jesus ate bread, he ate fish, that was carbohydrate, protein, and he ate fruits. That's why he was looking for figs on the fig tree. Eat healthy food. Well, you may be used to eating pama, but... I won't say anymore. Okay. As God prospers you, my last point, contribute to national wealth. Contribute to national wealth. The same way I have goals for the tithe, big tithe that I want to pay to God, I have goals for the tax that I want to pay to government. Interesting. Because developed countries don't build their infrastructure on oil or other natural resources. They build on tax money. The United States creates 100,000 millionaires every year. 100,000 new millionaires every year. That's an average of a new millionaire every 5 minutes. Why won't the country be rich? The United States has over 300 billionaires. I mean dollars, sir. $1 million is 140 million naira. And they are creating 100,000 people. What that every year? Awesome. But the average, by the time you are earning $1 million a year in the US, you are paying 30% or 40% tax per annum. So I was looking through the president's budget speech. I got a copy. And I saw all the money the government expects from companies in income tax this year is 230 billion naira. I said, wow, what a shame. I'm praying God there will be, by the time we have the whole of the budget of the federal government for this year is 3.7 trillion naira. By the time we have 10 million of us out of the 150 or 160 million people in this country, by the time we have just 10 million of us, who can pay tax of 1 million per year? That's 10 trillion naira per year from tax. And the whole budget for this year is 3.7 trillion. That's why they don't have enough money to build the roads. That's why they don't have enough money to build hospitals. The money is not enough. But very soon it will be. Because of you. They are not getting... I said because of you. You. And you, and you, and you, stand to your feet with me. Lift your hand to the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him because He gives power to get wealth. Thank Him because Christianity has inherent power to help you create and harvest wealth. Thank Him. Thank Him because Abraham was blessed. Thank you because Isaac was blessed. Jacob was blessed. Jesus was blessed. And tonight begin to bless Him that the same God is your God. And Galatians 3:29 says that the blessings of Abraham are yours. You are a joint heir with Christ, He said. You are a heir of Abraham as long as you are Christ. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Somewhere along the line in the Psalms, David was talking to his soul. He says, why are you cast down, oh my soul? And he was challenging his thinking pattern at a particular point in time. Tonight, the first prayer we're going to pray, every limiting thought, every thought that is aligned with underdevelopment and poverty and lack and limitation, tonight, I pull them down. I destroy them. I assault them. I remove them. Hey, there was a thinking pattern that came on Galatia, on the Christians in Galatia. Apostle Paul. You know, a powerful man of God said, his name Leroy Thompson, he used to talk like everybody else. Ah, the rate at which money is going, the rate at which money goes. And one day the Holy Spirit said to him, the reason why you don't have money is because you keep talking about how money goes. Why don't you talk about how money comes? That's why he began to make noise. Money comes. Money is not going. Money is coming. I said money is coming. Money is coming. We are not poor. But what we say is what we become. Do you know there's money in this city? Do you realize billions exchange hands in this city every day? And a good chunk of it belongs to you. Your own is coming. Tonight, lift your voice and begin to give some orders. Jesus said, if you talk to the mountain, it will move. If the mountain will move, money will also move. I want you to begin to interrupt the flow of funds in this city. Interrupt the flow of funds. Commitment. This thing works with the covenant. This thing works with the covenant. One thing. When money comes, greed comes with it. Have you noticed something about the developed world? They don't need God. It's the same thing Moses was telling Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8. Materialism has its own dangers. That's its own downside. When you have enough money to solve most of your problems, you don't feel a need of God anymore. However, that still in the Bible does not make God to suggest that the person should be poor. He expects you to be blessed and to have enough gumption to put all of that material blessing at God's disposal. That's all. So tonight, a prayer of commitment. If Abraham could be so faithful to the covenant, he could offer his only son. That's why God blessed him now. That's why God blessed him. How?